You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome you to the second hour, and most of the first hour, if not all of it, dealt with the basketball tournament, which is underway as we speak. We'll help you get ready for some of the games tonight, update you on what is going on right now. And we'll also turn the page ever so slightly to spring football. Lane Kiffin joining us here in just a few minutes. Let's get back to the calls. And Ryan is in North Carolina. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, how are you, Paul?
Hey there.
How are you?
I am doing well, Ryan. Thank you.
You want, I want to talk about that Florida State game tonight.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a good game. I think the Florida State coach is doing well for this team. And I really think...
I think he's done a phenomenal job. Florida State years ago was a non-factor in the ACC, and now they're a regular visitor late in the tournament. Thank you for calling, and certainly hope you enjoy the game. James is up next in Alabama. Hello, James.
Paul? It's another nice day, isn't it?
It sure is.
Have you been for your walk today?
Yeah, you know, I got out there for my 100-yard walk.
100 yards?
Yeah, well, it was just, you know, I'm in training.
Okay, well, you know, local honey will take care of this pollen issue. You're aware of this, right?
Better than Zyrtex?
Oh, certainly.
Okay,
good. No pharmaceuticals. I'm working on this fine bond, so just, I mean, give me, you know, you have to look over my grunts and my you knows and my use of the word stuff. I'm trying to cut down.
You got it.
All right, Keith, what's that guy's last name that was on here right before the break?
I don't think he gave us his last name.
Okay, so this guy was like an AAU coach. He was just a regular Joe Blow caller like myself.
Correct.
Okay, and his issue was with the seating. And what he was trying to say was that 15 should not be the 2 if the seating was done properly. And what he was claiming was that the reason the seating is done improperly is because sports writers that don't get a wide berth on their viewing of college basketball is why the seating is incorrect.
Right. Isn't that what he was saying? That's what he said. Yes. Correct.
All right. Now let me ask you this question. If the seating is done correctly, how does the 15 manage to be the 2?
I don't want to be a philosophy professor, but his logic was seriously flawed.
Okay. Help me. Cause I just caught the back end of the call.
Well, no, I mean, I tried to bring that point up to him. I mean, yeah, there's no question you have 2 seeds that should be 4s and 5s that should be 3s and 8s that should be 5s, but no 15 should ever beat a 2. That doesn't happen.
Exactly, if the seeding's done properly. So how do we fix that?
Well, I also disagree with his contention that sports writers really don't matter. The AP poll is made up of sports writers and sports broadcasters. And I think there's also a coaches poll. And in the end, none of it really matters because that committee does what it wants to do. They're, you know, after 4 months of basketball, the patterns are pretty well set. The Big Ten after the regular season was by far the best league. And now if you flop in March, then that hurts you, just like in football. If you have a good season and then you lose every bowl game, it does affect you. But ultimately, the experts had it right. There are just massive upsets going on right now because of this, the disparity of the season because of COVID.
I see. Okay, so basically this caller is this one more cancel culture guy.
That would be fair to say, yes.
Okay, Paul. All right. You have a nice day, brother.
And you will never be canceled here, I can assure you. Phil is up next in Nashville. Hey, Phil, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, how you doing this beautiful Monday?
We are doing great.
Hey, Paul, I got a story to tell you. I'm assuming this actually happened. I'm retired, and a guy I worked with, where I worked at, he was on the coaching staff at Vanderbilt when Sam Newton was there.
Right.
And since we're in the basketball season, he was telling a story that they were, I think he said down in Ole Miss or Mississippi State one, a night before a game, and they was eating dinner. It was Sam Newton, the coaching staff. And Sam Newton asked the guys there, the coaching staff, asked him, said, if you was the athletic director at University of Kentucky, who would you go after to be the coach up there as basketball coach? And, of course, everybody said this one or that one. And he said, Sam looked at him and said, what do y'all think about Rick Pitino? And this guy's telling the story. He said, one of the coaches said, Sam said, Kentucky don't have enough money to pay that man to leave. I think he was coaching New Jersey Nets, I believe.
The New York Knicks. Time.
And he said, they don't have enough money to get him to leave there. Well, I think a year or two years later, Sam left Vanderbilt and went to Kentucky. And next thing you knew, he got Rick Pitino. As the coach.
You know, I believe that is true. Phil, the only reason I think I can back that story up is I became very close to CM when I lived in Alabama, and he had a charity event that was very special to him, and he invited Pitino to come in and play golf, and the night before there was a dinner, and he asked me to, he knew I was a Pitino fan, and after the dinner, it was Rick, Pitino, CM, and I think maybe Coach Willard, who had been an assistant under Ralph Willard, I believe. And we all went, wherever we were. Well, I tell you, I remember where we were. We were at the North River Yacht Club. We went upstairs, and I didn't, for 3 hours, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, I don't think I opened my mouth. I just listened to Rick Pitino and CM tell stories. And I would say it was one of the most incredible experiences I've ever had in the sports world, because the people that they talked about, the stories that they told. I did ask Pitino one question, and he did not want to hear it. I asked him, I said, I know you've been asked this 1,000 times, but what were you thinking in 92 when you didn't guard the inbound play on the famous Christian Laettner? And he laughed. He said, yeah, I've been, and he explained it to me. And I don't know whether it was the alcohol or the hour. I really don't remember which one got it to me, but it made sense to me, even though in watching the game, it made zero sense whatsoever.
Hey, Paul, before you hang up, one more thing. What did you think about this weekend? Vanderbilt's Jack Leiter pitched the no-hitter.
I thought it was fabulous. And I remember his dad, as I'm sure you do, Al Leiter.
Yes.
And it was, you know, Vanderbilt baseball is such a special thing. And that was just fantastic to watch. Hey, thanks for the call. We are heading to a break here. We have a very special guest, Lane Kiffin, who will be joining us in a few minutes. More of your phone calls after that at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, Brand name treatments like Viagra or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Lane Kiffin will join us in just a minute. Dan is up next. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Dan, we are doing great.
That's great. You got your madness on?
I am, I'm pretty fired up. It's quite, are you watching the tournament?
Oh, yeah. Yes. And, it's unbelievable. These teams with these good defenses are, they're showing it. I was wondering, do you think defense is going to carry the tournament?
Well, I think ultimately, defense is always critically important. Hey, Dan, thanks for the call. It's always good to catch up with you. Let's welcome in our next guest. He is Lane Kiffin. It has been a while since we have talked to the Ole Miss head coach. Coach, what? How are you? What's going on? How have you been?
Been great, Paul. Thank you. We start spring ball tomorrow, so players are in meetings, and so we're excited to get back out on the field and see what we got.
Well, let's talk about it. And, this is a little different than last year. At this point, things were in utter chaos. I know every coach has a list of priorities. I assume that. I don't know that. What are you most interested in as you get back on the field, other than getting back on the field?
Well, I think, first off, we have 14 midyears. So, and I believe 12 of them are on defense, we need some help there. We didn't play very well last year, as we all know. We played better in the bowl game and looked to build off that with a lot of players coming back and a lot of new players that not just we get in here for the fall, but we got them in here for the spring. So, that's probably number one. And then, developing around the quarterback and also, continue to develop him and get rid of the interceptions. I think, in two of the games, what he had, 13 interceptions or something, and I think two or three in all the rest of the games combined. So he's shown that he can play at the highest level, and now he's got to do it week in and week out, not just for most of the games.
Let's talk about Matt for a second, because, there were times he was so great. And I know what you said a minute ago, but how do you overcome things like that are just simply, at least for a layperson, hard to explain?
Well, first off, he was just a sophomore, and he was in his third system in 3 years, including his redshirt year. So, and he did not have spring in this system. So I think it's pretty remarkable what he did. I think he led the SEC in yards per game with some great quarterbacks, obviously, in the conference, and, set a bunch of school records, in certain games against some really good defenses. So we're excited about that and excited to have him for the spring, because, I think if we would have said those were his numbers and how well he played with no spring, I think we all would have taken that, because at this time we didn't know if he was a starter a year ago and we weren't even practicing.
You mentioned the midyears, and I'm so interested in hearing more about that. This is not a new thing, but it's a critically important thing. Just comparing the way it used to be when you really didn't have this in your career versus now, how critically important is getting these guys through a spring ball, and then hopefully they develop into really good players by the time you start playing?
Yeah, I think I feel old when you say that, Paul, about how it used to be, but it was. It used to just be quarterbacks, basically, figured a way to graduate a semester early. And, now it is, well over half the players in our class. So, that is great. It's, you have them for spring ball. It's great academically as well, because they get a whole semester under their belt instead of the old days. They came in the fall and all of a sudden I've got school. I haven't gone to school yet. And now I'm going to school and I got to travel and play regular season games. So It's a great benefit when they're able to do that.
Talking a lot, by the way, for me to make you feel old is quite an accomplishment for someone of my age.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. That's the first compliment you've ever given me.
I try hard. I mean, I search Twitter trying to find something good to say about you, but I'm struggling, Coach. Anyway, in terms of the season,
you still let's make sure everybody knows you still owe me because you did get me fired at USC that Saturday morning by saying I'm the Miley Cyrus of college football, which we've helped you since then. That's not really a put down.
Yeah, for those who didn't see this, and I'm blushing even beyond the normal blush of makeup. I said that on College Game Day. It was my first year at ESPN, Coach. I was trying to make a name for myself, and I, unfortunately, you just happened to be the next victim. I do feel badly about that.
Well, don't worry. We helped you. We gave up 62 points that day, so it wasn't all you.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, it wouldn't have hurt if you won the game. I mean, I didn't make that story up that you were struggling out there. In fact, I may have been pretty prescient predicting your downfall. But to continue this soap opera on, I ran into you 2 weeks later. You were on game day in Seattle, Washington. And I wrote a chapter about this in a book. I thought you were going to kill me.
That's what some of the people on set, I think, were worried about, that they said. But we became good friends, and so
we did.
You still had the Tennessee thing deep down in you too. So I understand. Healing takes time.
Yeah, we ended up communicating, and you sent me a text the next day. I think after the hit about one of Miley's, I think it was Wrecking Ball or something, one of her big hits. And I knew then you were not nearly as bad as I had made you out to be, and the rest is history. I haven't criticized you since, and that's pretty hard not to do. All the calls that you've made that I would like to have criticized you about.
That is true.
Anyway, let's get back to the. We'll try to get back to this interview. Although I have lost all focus, wanting to go retro here and talk about Lane Kiffin's greatest hits. But Coach, let's talk about the season with a spring now that you're about to have, and you know, your fans are just knocking us down whenever they call in. They are about as high on Ole Miss as they have been in a very long time. What's it like being at ground zero there? And I know you don't want to temper it because fans want to be fans, but how good do you think this team is capable of being?
Well, that's all positive. The fan energy and momentum from, I don't know, whatever we won four of the last five or something like that. So it's good. You feel it like at the baseball game this weekend, you know, during the sweep of Auburn, you know, you see fans are excited for it. And we opened part of our spring practices on Saturdays to the public so that they'll be around. So, you know, we're embracing that. But at the same time, we got to do work. You know, that don't mean anything. It doesn't mean we're going to win any games because of it. But it's great to have. And I think it helps in recruiting, too.
And we'll show the schedule here in a minute. And I know coaches hate, among the things they don't like doing from a media standpoint is to have to think about expectations and go down a schedule. But the opener is Louisville. I'll read this out for those of you listening on radio. And there's a reason I'm doing this, Coach. I'm not just trying to remind you of the schedule. There's Austin Peay, Tulane, at Alabama, Arkansas, LSU, at Auburn, Liberty, Texas A&M, Vanderbilt, and at Mississippi State. There are just two really intriguing games on here. At Alabama, October 2nd, and at Tennessee on October 16th. For those who don't know your life history, you've worked at both places.
Yeah, those are interesting games. I think everybody watching this network probably knows that, though, Paul. Both of them are on the road. So, it'll be exciting going to play two historic programs on the road. And, you know, you never know. People get too much into the schedule and, you know, too far into advance. You know, we were sitting here a year ago when they eventually, you know, came up with the all-SEC schedule. Everybody's like, oh, we got to play all-SEC teams. Well, the two teams we added, we actually won the game. So, you know, you never know.
And by the way, you know, so much will be made out of both. But you've You've been to Tennessee plenty of times. You've obviously played Alabama. I know the media at media days will go overboard on that, but do you let any of that stuff affect? It doesn't seem like anything affects you, by the way. But do you let stuff like that when you look at the schedule and see where you are? Does it filter into your head at all?
It does not. I embrace it. You know, it's about all of it, and I think that I hope the players feel that and they feel confidence, and you know, so you kind of take it off of them a lot of times. You know, when so much attention, you know, from a fan base is on you, especially on the road going into those stadiums. So I think time has healed in the Tennessee thing, you know, a lot from the first time we went in there at Alabama and, you know, the way the crowd was to what I would expect now. But, you know, we'll see. And Alabama, you know, we had a great run there. I think we'd run 26 straight games, you know, when Coach and I were together. So 26 straight in. So I would like to think that, you know, that's a pretty good relationship, you know, with that fan base.
Yeah, I don't think we've talked to you since he being Nick Saban won another national championship. I mean, I know we've talked to you after a number of them, including some that you played a role in, but it doesn't seem like he's any closer to shutting it down, does it?
No, and all it takes, I think, is, you know, somebody, I think you've had one of them before that you've even joked about, you know, that says, oh, okay, it's over, you know, the dynasty's over. And I heard that last year, you know, they lost Tua, lost too many players, lost too many coaches, their dynasty's over, and, you know, they're not going to be able to play defense, you know, early in the year. So everybody's saying, oh, their defense can't play anymore, and they just go and basically win a national championship, not even in a close game. So y'all got to stop counting them out. It doesn't help us, you know. Give him some rat poison, actually. Go the other way with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering if there is a secret to, because you're not the first coach I've heard jokingly talk about Nick Saban stepping down. There's not much we can do at this point, Coach. There really isn't. I know some of you would like us to, but we're out of ammunition when it comes to him.
Yeah, that machine's not slowing down anytime soon. He's just done it. He's proved everybody wrong that what's supposed to happen, you're supposed to have those down years because you lose a great class, you know, or you lose your coordinators. And he's just proven everything wrong about the book of coaching, you know, which just shows how great he is.
As far as your situation, year two, last year, everyone went through a bizarre set of circumstances. And, you know, even though there were a couple of games, and we've talked about this with you, you very well could have won, very easily could have won, but didn't. How would you describe the Ole Miss program right now heading into year two?
Yeah, you're right, Paul. Not could have, we should have. You know, we should have, you know, reminded me the Auburn baseball series yesterday as I was sitting there and, you know, they kept going to replay in baseball, but we should have won that game. You know, we didn't do a great job at the end of that game. We had the ball and should have won the game with the lead. And then we should have, you know, won the last regular season game versus LSU. Similar situation. So we got no one to blame but ourselves and, you know, watch the film, get better and hopefully improve in the spring.
I know coaches have to move on, but do you let stuff like that affect you or get to you? I mean, I know in the moment it has to. On the way back to the plane or to the bus, it has to. But how long do things like that fester? Games like that?
Oh, they do. I think, you know, we don't do coach speak, as you know, because every coach will tell you 48 or 24-hour rule, whatever they have. That don't work. You know, at least not with me. You know, I still – you know, I hate the Arkansas game, you know, the way that we played on offense and turning the ball over and not feeling like we had a very good game plan ready, you know, from an offensive perspective. And I don't like that we didn't do well in 4 minutes to win two games, you know, LSU and Auburn. So those bother me. And to me, they keep bothering you until you fix them and, you know, until you win the next year.
Well, Coach, thank you for coming on. It's always entertaining. I never know what type of pie I'm going to have thrown in my face, and this was no exception to the rule. So please come back. It's always great for us.
We always do. Appreciate you, Paul. Have a great week, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, Coach. Coach Lane Kiffin joining us from Knoxville. For those of you who are wondering about that episode that he mentioned relating to me, it was in, what year was it? September of 2013, just to keep it into perspective. Just like yesterday. We will take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
In an update from the NCAA Women's Tournament, Wright State winning its first NCAA tournament game ever, upsetting Arkansas 66-62. The ladies are going home, but the men continue to play on in the Sweet 16. And we will continue with your phone calls at 855-242-7285. A little bit later, we'll check in with Seth Greenberg to preview tonight's Alabama and LSU basketball games in the NCAA tournament. Harold is up next. Good afternoon, Harold.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
You're having a great day.
We're doing well. Thank you very much.
I don't think you'll remember me, but because I've only called a couple times, but I'm one of those old callers, 94, World War II veteran, LSU alumni.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for calling again.
You know, if we sneak by Michigan, LSU tonight, there's a great chance that LSU and Alabama will play for the fourth time in basketball this year. And the last time that happened in the Southeast Conference, Kentucky kicked us three times in Baton Rouge, in Lexington, in the tournament. But in that fourth time, we went to the Final Four by beating Kentucky.
Yeah, Harold, I'm proud to say I was covering that game in Atlanta that Saturday afternoon.
Right.
Remember it well.
Yep. So that history may not repeat itself. Alabama's the best team in our league. They were during the year and certainly in the tournament, but We can score points. We can't play defense like them. But if we're red hot, it could be another thriller just like them.
Well, Harold, you're right. Hey, tell me this: 94. How do you stay in reasonably good shape? Well, great shape. How about that?
My wife and I are very fortunate. We'll celebrate our 70th wedding anniversary in June. We live at home by ourselves. This is the first year contracting out my yard. I finally reached.
Oh my goodness! So you were cutting your yard at 93?
Huh?
You were. That's insane.
Yeah. Well, I've got a big family, and they get along very well, and that makes our life very easy. We get a lot of help when we need heavy cleanup and heavy yard work and what have you. So I'm a very rich man, Mr. Feinbaum, not in cash and toys, but in family, big family. They love each other, and more than important than that, they like each other.
Well, that is inspiring, Harold, because, you know, I mean, we all are conditioned to think of certain ages, and unfortunately society pushes that number down considerably. And when I hear someone like you who you know, not only has fought in a war like two, and has had such a great life, I'm inspired to use some of your words in my life and hopefully other lives.
Well, like I say, we've been very blessed, and I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to football season because whether people know it or not, we're loaded. We played 23 freshmen in Florida, and even though it took a thrown shoe to get us up, we found a left-handed gunslinger named Johnson, and in the last two ball games, he showed me a lot of poise for a freshman quarterback.
So help me with my faulty math, but my guess is you would have been the war may mess up my arithmetic here, but when were you down there at LSU?
I finished in 1950. I started at McNeese.
Okay.
It was in Lake Charles,
sure.
My hometown. It was a junior college branch of LSU, so I went 2 years to McNeese and then 2 years at LSU, finished in 1950.
And if I can impose on you one more question, can you where were you in the service?
I was on a brand new aircraft carrier in the last of the war, in the Okinawa campaign in the Pacific.
Oh my
goodness!
I was
a radarman in Combat Information Center was my station, and I was on it every day that it was in commission. So I just got a smattering right at the end, and we were pretty dominant by the time I got out there. But thankfully, we had a thing called the Manhattan Project.
Right.
The bombing of the atomic bombs, which put an end to it, because if we would have had to invade Japan to win it, it would have been brutal on both sides.
I can't imagine. I have read enough stories about that and heard enough from my dad, who was over there as well. But yeah, you're right. That would have been the war to end all wars right there, the battle to end all battles.
Right.
Well, thank you so much. You have made my day here.
It's been my pleasure.
You bet. You take care of yourself, Harold, and stay in touch, okay?
I'll do it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. What an inspiration. 70 years of marriage, 94. Sounds pretty good. Sound more spry than I am. We will take a break. We'll come back with more of your calls. Lane Kiffin just dropped by if you missed it. It was a pretty typical Lane Kiffin conversation. We'll talk about the women's tournament in a few minutes and then wrap up the show focusing in on Indianapolis, where one of our guests is, and tonight's SEC games with LSU as well as Alabama. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we welcome you back, and Gonzaga has punched a ticket to the Sweet 16, winning by 17. Let's get back to the calls, and George is in South Carolina. Hello, George.
Tall Paul, this is George in Anderson, South Carolina, 20 miles from Clemson, native of West Virginia.
Thank you. Great to have you on.
Bob Huggins' teams have won 900 games. Who decides who's in the Hall of Fame?
I believe it is a committee. I don't know the makeup of the committee, but I did remember hearing them talk about that the other day on the game, that he was not, I did not realize he was not a member of the Hall of Fame.
No, a lot of the announcers, if you will listen to them, they don't understand either why Bob Huggins is not in the Coaches Hall of Fame. Does anybody know who the people are who makes that decision?
I will find out. I'm pretty sure it is a committee of the National either the NABC or the Hall of Fame in Springfield. But I'll see if I can find that out. I don't think this is voted.
You know as well as I do, there are a lot of coaches in there who have been a whole lot less successful than Bobby Huggins has.
Yeah, no, I think Bob Huggins, I mean, he took a Final Four team at Cincinnati. I think sometimes, you know, his way, you know, his attitude has upset people over the years. I've had one or two encounters with him. Always found him to be a pretty straightforward guy. I like him. Yeah, but
his players love him.
Yeah, I mean Bob Knight's one of the most obnoxious and arrogant coaches of all time, but he's considered among the two or three best that never stopped Bob Knight from getting in the Hall of Fame.
Well, Bobby Huggins can be a little abrasive, like I said, but he is good to his players, and his players love him.
No, I agree with you on that, and I will see if I can dig up the criterion to get in. And
thank you.
You bet. Thanks for calling. Thank you, Gary.
Okay. Thanks, Paul.
You take care of yourself. Chuck is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing well.
The reason I was going to call you, but after I got listening to that gentleman that's 94 years old, God bless him, and
man,
everybody that served in the United States military, but the guy that called you a hole, you know, I've been called that quite a few times in my life, but Paul, wear that as a badge of honor, son.
Well, you know, I must have missed it when he did on Twitter, because, I tend to cringe when I see all the criticism, but that's okay. At least he was honest enough to admit it.
Well, I hear you, but have a good day, Paul.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm like a lot of people. I you know, when it comes to criticism, if you say it to my face, I really don't care. If you post it somewhere, I probably don't care either. But I'll always appreciate somebody who at least is willing to tell you what they think in person, or as close as you can do it in today's world. Hey, let's get to the calls. And Greg is in Dayton, Ohio. Hello, Greg. Thanks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
So I saw the Ole Miss hype video, and I just feel like calling into y'all because I'm just hyped up after what all we've gone through this year as a nation, having the NCAA tournament from a sports standpoint, having the NCAA tournament, and then the baseball and softball seasons canceled, and then having what all happened in Mississippi, which I personally got to be a part of some positive change. I got to see something that I designed fly in front of the Capitol. For me, is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. But getting back to the NCAA tournament and having it back, it got me thinking about how they have full scholarships. And then I'm looking at SEC baseball, which we have five teams in the top five. Why is it, or is baseball and softball the only sports in the SEC that don't get full rides like basketball or football, or is it just basketball and football have those full scholarships?
Yeah, no. There's always been a great baseball is third. There's always been a great debate about the. I mean, I'm trying to remember whether they're half scholarships or not, but it is. You know, considering the amount of money the baseball provides and generates, it seems like we should probably change that.
Yeah, because I'm just seeing. Since it's a top three sport in the United States, I just don't see how with basketball and football getting full scholarships. Not saying that they shouldn't; they 100% should.
Yeah, but Greg, I think it has probably more to do with the amount of money generated and the amount of money. While baseball programs do make a lot of money in terms of gate receipts, it is a very expensive sport because of travel. There, it's a long season. And I'm guessing, because I don't know the number on this, you don't have the natural television revenue. Now, the SEC Network does a lot of baseball games, as we all know, there, but you don't have the kind of packages that you do in basketball or football that generates tens, if not hundreds, if not billions of dollars. And I think ultimately that really is the issue of why it probably does not. But it seems like as important as baseball is to this conference and others, it deserves more consideration of that.
Is there anything that like fans could do to help promote the potential full scholarships for baseball and softball.
I tell you what I'll do, Greg. The next time we have a baseball coach on, which I'm sure will be sometime soon, I'll get a better clarification, because I really don't know exactly how it works. But thank you for asking, and we will, as they say, look into it. More calls and more of your comments. We've already had Lane Kiffin on. That was pretty eventful, in case you missed it. More of your calls at 855-242-7285. We'll talk more about the tournament, both men's and women's, when we come back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.